Did, because I feel like it's very timely and very needful for this church. So I feel like the Lord put it on his heart to preach that to us. Now you have it. Let's see if we can have any good come from it or any improvement come from it. And that's it's good for us. But I think you could go most everywhere, and there's the same need. We as God's people need to be praising God. I have noticed as I've gotten older that I can't hit those high notes like I used to. Maybe I need to practice more. Maybe it's just something I'm going to have to deal with. I don't know. Anybody got some suggestions? I'll be happy to hear them after service today. But that was a good message. And by the way, in just tacking on 2 cents to what Brother Thomas ended up with about encouraging us to make that melody in preparation, you know, like we've said before, when do you tune up your instrument? Before or after the concert? Before, if you want it to sound good, okay. All right, appreciate the message. I remember a preacher one time said that he had studied all week and preached on a subject that was kind of difficult to present, but felt like it was needful. And he got home that Sunday afternoon, and he called up his dad, who also was a preacher, and said, "What'd you preach on today?" Well, no, I guess his dad asked him what he preach on, and he tried to explain all this, and it took him a minute to really talk about just exactly what he was trying to preach that Sunday. And then he asked his dad, said, "Well, what did you preach on?" He said, "Prayer." Prayer. Isn't that a simple subject? Careful. Prayer is so powerful. Prayer is something we like singing. We need to work at prayer. Prayer is something that will bring great benefits into our own lives and possibly into the lives of others. Aren't you thankful for the prayers that others have offered up on your behalf? I mean, I get choked up a little bit thinking about things I've been through in my life and folks that's told me they're praying for me. And it's a rascal that I am and somebody's praying for me. Prayer's a powerful thing. And we can approach it from a lot of different directions. I want to start in Romans chapter 8. I want to read the verse. I got some things I want to say about prayer in general, and then I'll come back to this verse later on. Romans chapter 8. Paul's speaking about the value of hope, the blessing that it is to us. And then he says in verse 26, Romans 8, 26, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities." Let's make sure we understand what we mean by infirmities. What I find in the definition of that is it could be sickness, weakness, whatever the need. Needs come in lots of different packages, don't they? Whatever the sickness, whatever the weakness, whatever the infirmity, okay? "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought." You ever experienced that? There's a need. You've got a lot of ideas, but you're not sure if that's exactly what you need to pray for. I have often found that God has a way of blessing is a whole lot better than what I could have come up with. And so, what a blessing. How refreshing is it to know that the Spirit can help and does help our infirmities, whatever the need is. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I like that little meme that I've seen where somebody starts out a prayer. It's written, "Our Father, O Lord," and then just a bunch of scrambled up letters and an amen. I feel that way sometimes, don't you? We pray. We do the best we can in asking, but it's the Spirit that takes those groanings. I think I've shared with you before, when I was growing up, we had a man in the church. Sometimes the pastor, Elder Ferris, would call on him to pray, and he'd get on his knees, and he'd start out pretty well, but then after that, he'd just start groaning. And I thought, as a child, I thought that was kind of strange, and surely he ought to be able to do better than that. I think the brother was sincere. And I know God understood his heart. We in the congregation didn't hear much, but we could feel what he was trying to say in his heart. God hears it perfectly. Isn't that wonderful? When I can't frame the words, when I don't know what the need is specifically, when I just can't find what I need, the Spirit can help our infirmities. And God understands perfectly. Sometimes our praying, I'll come back to this verse a little bit more. There's a lot of ways that there's categories of types of prayers and lists and things like that. I want to approach it a little differently this morning. Just three different angles of praying. Sometimes our prayers are outward. When we're making intercession for others, when we're asking supplications, when we're asking the Lord for our own personal needs, or maybe we're lifting somebody else up to the throne of grace. We need to do all of that, don't we? We need to do a lot of that. One of the things that I try to remind you, maybe not necessary, but I try to remind you on a regular basis, that we need to pray for one another. When we pray for one another, we feel more like a family. We need to be praying for one another. We need to be spending a lot of time in prayer. I think of some of the characters that we're told about, some of the saints and the patriarchs and other saints that we read about in the scriptures, those that were closest to the Lord. Prayer was a big part of their life. How about Daniel? We've had a lot to say about Daniel in recent weeks. And Daniel was a man that he committed himself to praying three times a day in his room with his window open toward Jerusalem. But don't you know that brother prayed a lot more than just those three times in a day? He was a man of prayer. He was a man that when the angels visited him later in that book of Daniel, we find that they would address him as, "Daniel, thou art greatly beloved." And you know, there's not anything in the book of Daniel that speaks about how much Daniel loved God. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He was so concerned about pleasing God. And those are the kinds of things that showed the love that Daniel had for God, which is exactly what Jesus said. If you love me, keep my commandments. And we find Daniel keeping the commandments of God. And he was greatly beloved, greatly loved of God. How would you feel if the Lord sent an angel to you and said, you know, you're greatly beloved? Well, we are greatly beloved of God. He doesn't have to send an angel. He's got his word here already for us that teaches us that if we love him, if we have a love for him, it's simply because he loved us first. And God does not start loving and quit. All right? And so we find that prayer and being close to God, they just go hand in hand. Somebody that you love, you want to spend time with them, don't you? I do. I believe you do too. And so when we love God, we're going to spend some time in prayer. We're going to spend some time talking to him. And it's not just the formal times of prayer. I have a time that I like to reserve in my day, and I like to lift each one of you up and others that I've known in the past. And this is a long list of things that I ask for on a daily basis. But that's not all the praying that I do. Throughout the day, things come to mind, and we'll say a prayer, you know, a quick prayer. It doesn't take long to pray for a need, does it? And so, when we lift up prayers of supplication and intercession, those are kind of outward thing. It's an outward kind of praying that we're praying for the needs of others. And we need to do a lot of that because there's a lot of needs in the world. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, as Paul, by inspiration, is closing out that letter to the Thessalonian church, he says, pray without ceasing. There's a lot of short admonitions that he gives there in that section, and one of them is pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. My goodness, we've got lots of things that we need to do throughout our day, but we can carry a prayer in our hearts, and we can carry folks on our mind and in our hearts, and we can pray for them off and on throughout the day, can't we? I know we can. And we need to. We just need to continue to pray for others. And so that's kind of praying outwardly. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority. Hear that? You know, I appreciate it when I hear somebody praying and they include our leaders. When we pray for our leaders, we're praying that the Lord would bless them to do what's right, to lead in a way that would be pleasing in his sight. You know, remember what the Bible says about Enoch? That he walked with God? That he walked with God. Well, what does that mean? Well, what's the fine meaning there? It's not just a matter of walking along somewhere and speaking with God. The New Testament, when it speaks of that, it says that he pleased God. One says walk, the other said pleased. I take it that he's talking about the same kind of walking. A walk in a way that's pleasing to God, that's close to God, that there's fellowship there, there's communion, there's prayer, there's communication. What a blessing that is. And so when we pray for others, whatever we're doing as we go about, here's what I'm driving at. Praying for kings and all that are in authority. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. There's a blessing that will descend upon our life when we are a praying person and we're praying for the needs of others and we're praying that God would bless them, that God would bless us, that and when we communicate with God on a regular basis in praying in such a way, there's a peace that comes in our heart because we have peace with God. If you don't have peace with God, you're miserable. Okay? And so in praying, it tunes our heart to be in more fellowship with the Lord. That's kind of a lot of our praying is outward, and it's needful. There's a great need for us to be praying in that way. Another way our praying is upward. I want to use that word to describe, and that's praise and adoration and thanksgiving directly to God. Speaking of God and of His glory. Not necessarily talking about needs and things of this earth, but just simply praising God for who He is in and of Himself. I mean, He is the one true and living God. And we're blessed to know Him. He's the one who doeth His will, as Nebuchadnezzar found out. He doeth His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of men, and none could stay His hand or say to Him, what doest thou? Isn't that the one you want to pray to? Isn't that the one that we praise and give glory to His name? For He's holy, holy, holy. His glory is above the heavens. And there's so many verses that we could go to. Just really quickly, Exodus chapter 9, when Moses is before Pharaoh, when Pharaoh would not let God's people go. Exodus chapter 9, I should have marked it. I'll just grab a little bit of that, of what is said there. Exodus chapter 9. When Pharaoh, who thought he was God, refused what Moses relayed to him from God, part of what God said back to him was, this is God's word through Moses speaking to Pharaoh, for I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people. Why? That thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. And I'll tell you, you'll find that message in some of Moses' writings. You'll find it in Isaiah. You'll find it in Jeremiah. You'll find it in Ezekiel. That God intended for it to be known that He is the one true and living God. And if we're blessed to know Him, we need to be spending some time in praise and adoration. And I'm talking about, yes, a great opportunity for us to do that is when we meet together and in our song service. Okay? Praise and adoration to God. Okay? But in our praying, we need to lift our thoughts heavenward and just praise and adore our God for who He is and what He's done for us. It'll do your heart good. It'll rejoice the spirit. It'll be a blessing to you in a lot of ways. And it helps to tune up that heart. when we're praising God for who He is and what He's done, it will definitely tune your heart. And it'll show as you go forth after that praying. A lot of other praises I could go for that. Time's got getting away. But I want to talk a little bit also about all of praying is inward praying, but specifically the focus of inward praying, that kind of praying where there's self-examination. Where we realize we come short before God. I have to spend a lot of praying about that. Okay? But we shy away. I'm afraid this is some of the most needful praying, but I'm afraid it's some of the most neglected praying. When David had sinned greatly before God and tried to cover up what he had done with Bathsheba and just a lot of things that David was trying to do, when he was finally confronted and when he finally confessed his sins, Psalm 51 is that language of confession. That language where he speaks of the struggle that was going on within him. And I want to take just a minute to notice some of that. We could spend a lot of time in Psalm 51, but it illustrates what I'm trying to get across with regard to the kind of inward praying that I'm afraid we neglect so many times. Because we've not all done what David did, but we all come short. Okay? David got to the point after Nathan had confronted him. It says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness." You know, that's how we can approach God. Because in his mercy and his grace and his loving kindness, he sent his son to this world to suffer and die, to pay our sin debt. And because of that, we have access to the throne of God. We can come boldly through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that his blood was shed for our sins, that he's put away our sins, but we still have a conscience, and we still come short at times. And so, but when we know what God has done for us and that he's given us access to his throne, then we can come to that throne. And we can not just come, but we can come boldly, not arrogantly, but trusting his word, trusting that we know in our hearts that he has blessed us to know him and to know what he's done in sending his son to save us. So then, for Jesus' sake, we can come boldly to that throne. So David says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." Now, David's on the other side of Calvary. We're blessed to know that the Lord Jesus Christ, through his blood, has put away our sins. But faith is speaking through David, showing us that there is forgiveness even for the Old Testament saints through the blood of Jesus. "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." There's so much here. I won't get too far into this, but you see how David is approaching God. He's confessing his sins. He knows there's forgiveness. He knows there's mercy. He knows there's loving kindness in the Lord. If you hesitate to pray unto God and confess your sins, listen, he already knows. You're not going to acquaint him with anything. You're not going to tell him something he doesn't already know. But he tells us to confess it. You know, 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins. You know, John knew that Jesus had already put away our sins. But he's talking about in the practical sense. We need some daily washing, and confession is where we need to go, confessing our sins. So he said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, he's going to purge our conscience. And David touches on that in Psalm 51, purging. It's needful for our conscience to be purged. It's needful that we do that on a regular basis so that we stay close to God. When we don't confess those things, when we don't pray to God in that way, we're not as close to the Lord. We're not as in, the fellowship is just not as there, and the peace is just not there as much as it could have been. If Jesus died for our sins, we're his child. We'll be with him in heaven.
but walking. Kind of like what Brother Thomas was talking about, you know, practicing to sing better. We need to be praying so that we can walk more closely to the Lord in fellowship and communion with Him each day. That inward type of self-examination and confession gives us a deeper sense of our own sin, but it brings us closer to the Lord. It gives us a greater appreciation for what Christ has done for us. It helps us to rejoice in the mercy and the grace, the forgiveness that we have through our Lord. And listen, I love to sing about that forgiveness, don't you? I like to sing about the grace of God. I like to sing about what He's done for us, because we couldn't do it ourselves. And the closer we get to Him, the more earnest we'll be in singing those praises, in expressing that thanksgiving and gratitude for all that He's done for us. But if we're not mindful of His goodness, if we're not mindful of His mercy, if we're not mindful of that forgiveness, if we just go about our day and doing the things of this world and never think about the things that God has done for us, we kind of cool off in our praise. And that can show in the song service, can't it? Okay, you've already heard that. But the inward praying, that self-examination, that confession to God is so needful. And I'll tell you something. The people I know that are walking the closest to the Lord, even the little things that could disturb fellowship and so forth, even the little things bother them more. The closer you are to the Lord, the more the little things bother you, your shortcomings, mistakes. It's when a person has plenty of shortcomings and mistakes that it doesn't bother them. It makes me wonder how their fellowship is with the Lord. It's all connected, isn't it? Walk in the Spirit. Will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. All right, so what we're getting to in all of this is how needful we are that the Spirit be with us to help us and to bless us. So if we go back, and by the way, let me see. I'm gonna go back to Psalm 51. There's a couple of verses that touches on something that I neglected to read. Psalm 51, I'll begin in verse 7. Purge me with hyssop. Now in the Old Testament, the priests would take a bunch of hyssop and they would dip it in the blood of the animal that was sacrificed, and they'd sprinkle it on the altar. It was a symbol of purging. But David is praying, purge me with hyssop. He's asking for something spiritual. This is not the physical thing. He's asking for something spiritual. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. You know, if you compare that to 1 John 1 and 9, where John says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. So confession, and that's what David is doing in Psalm 51. He's confessing his sin. There's a purging. And there's a cleansing so that we can get up and go again. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Sin causes us to feel broken and empty of the Lord. He says, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Renew a right spirit within me. You see, that's when we can come to the Lord, when our heart, that right spirit is within us. That's where we can offer up our prayers to God, and he's pleased. So we come back to Romans 8 in closing. I probably should have spent a little more time in Psalm 51, but back to Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our prayer. I've talked about that outward type of praying. I've talked about the upward praise and thanksgiving, and I've talked about that inward type of self-examination. The focus is inward instead of upward or outward. The focus being inward. How we need that. And so many times, I'm afraid, we feel like we just don't know how to pray for what we need. And that's why this verse of scripture in Romans 8, verse 26, that's why it's so important and it's so encouraging. Because the Lord tells us, he, the Spirit, through his Spirit, he will help us in our praying. We should never shy away from praying because we don't know what to say. From time to time, I've called upon brethren to say a prayer, and sometimes they'll say, well, I don't know how to pray. Well, just like Brother Thomas was saying about our singing, we need some practice, don't we? And the Lord will help you. With his Spirit, he will help you. Because it's not so much what comes out of your mouth as what's in your heart. He knows, he can hear the very groanings of your heart. So again, Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, whatever the need might be. It's just a word there that, what if it's a weakness, if it's a sickness, whatever the need might be, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We pray, but then that's why we also say, thy will be done. Maybe I've asked for something that's either not right or not time for it or I'm not ready for it. You know, sometimes we have to grow to the place where we can be ready to receive something. Whatever the case might be, he helpeth our infirmities. The Spirit does. We know not how we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Prayers are the sincere desire of the heart, not the eloquent words of the lips. Prayers from the heart. Now, Jesus did say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So we can express those things, but what's important is what's in the heart. And he knows what's in the heart. He's not limited to the outward countenance, right? God looketh upon the heart. He knows what's in the heart. And if it's our desire to speak to him, if all we could do is groan, he knows. He understands perfectly. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't try to speak to the Lord. I'm just saying there's times when you're just so overwhelmed, you just don't know exactly what to say. Don't let that keep you from praying. God knows, he understands, and he can help. Praying is something like singing. I think perhaps is underutilized. Does anybody here think you pray too much?
I don't. I've heard some long prayers. My cousin that was in the ministry, he used to say, you know, somebody that's long in praying in private can be short in praying in public. It doesn't have to be a long prayer. God knows. But it's okay for us to spend a lot of time, whether it's on our knees, whether it's throughout our day. Let us be found like Enoch, walking with the Lord. Take him with you. Wherever you go, speak to him. It may not be the audible word. It may be in spirit. He can hear perfectly. I don't hear as much as I used to, you know. But God doesn't have a problem with hearing even your heart. Now that's, that ought to be comforting to anybody. That God can hear our plea, whether it's the sound of our voice or whether it's the cry of our heart. He hears, he understands, and he can help. May God help us to do as we should in praying to him. May God bless you, Sarah.